Psalm 103. Let's start in verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, not half-hearted, not partially excited, all that's within me, bless His holy name. I'm grateful and thankful for what God's done in my life. How about yours? And I thank Him and bless Him. And then He said it again in verse number 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. In all reality, He's talking to Himself here. He's telling Himself, hey, get happy. Bless Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Give Him worship. Thank Him. And get a little dance on. And act like God's been good to you, because He has. Because He has. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Can you talk to your soul? David did. You know, as long as you don't answer back, I mean, it's okay. You're sane to talk to yourself. Amen. I was out in the land the other day. I was pounding fence posts. That's what I was talking about, pounding fence posts. And it was hot and everything. And I found myself, I'm out there, you know, nobody's close. I found myself talking to myself. And I thought, there ain't nobody around. Why am I talking to myself? But the psalmist talked to himself. He said, hey, soul, because his soul must have been down in the dumps, you know. Hey, get excited. Bless Him, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then he said, because, you know, how many of you know, if you're not going to forget them, there's a way to not forget them. And here's how to not forget them. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and heals all thy diseases. How many of you know, to not forget, just keep talking about them. Just keep saying them over and over again. The Lord heals all my diseases, forgives all my sin. He said, don't forget, just keep talking about it. You know, there's people, I met a lady one time in healing school back years ago. She was talking about how somebody had done her wrong, and the way she was talking, I thought it was last week. But found out it was years ago. You know? And she said, I just can't let go of it. I just keep remembering it. I said, you want some help on that? I said, and she said, yeah. I said, the psalmist said, don't forget all His benefits. And then he started talking about them and enumerating what they were. I said, the way you keep from forgetting something is you keep talking about it. And the reason you can't forget how somebody treated you is you keep talking about it. You keep mentioning it. You keep telling your sister, and you keep telling your friend, and now you're here telling me, and it still hurts because you keep talking about it. Oh, I stopped preaching and went to meddling already. You just stop talking about it. Say, no, I forgave them. It's gone. It's past. I've released them. They owe me nothing. Let's go on with life. Anyway, that's all free. That's not my sermon. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all your diseases. How many of you know, if you read through the Bible, healing and forgiveness of sins go hand in hand over and over and over again. Somebody said, I got saved. Well, the word saved is translated healed in the New Testament. Same Greek word, exact same Greek word translated saved, translated healed. So when you got saved, you got healed. Well, I don't know how that could be true. I still have my hooga mooga. Well, the way you got rid of your sin was you confessed Jesus as Lord. And the way you got, when you're going to get rid of your hygge mugga is you're going to confess Him as your healer. Amen. Thank God He bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. I've had the hygge mugga, but I got rid of all my hygge mugga. He forgiveth all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Look at this. Who redeems your life from destruction. Ooh, we've had some redemption in the last 10 days around here. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Oh, my. How many of you believe in eating good? Hallelujah. Sweet corn. Well, we better stop because I didn't eat before service, so I can't start talking about food. Satisfies your mouth with good things, so your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. I mean, we got some folk around here. They tell you how old they are, and you go, really? No. No. I've been around them. I know why. They keep saying, I'm good looking, young, vibrant, full of energy. Yeah. Well, when it's true, it's true, you know. It's just... How many of you know sin will wear on you and wear you out? But righteousness and faith and hallelujah, keeping the joy of the Lord, blessing Him, giving Him glory, it'll keep you young. You ever walk through the mall and saw somebody coming and you thought, well, they might not, you know, you just kind of, and internally, we all just sort of subconsciously assess their age. I mean, you can look at me and think, you know, he's probably 40, you know. Oh, man, that's a good chance to say amen. You missed a good chance to say amen. I didn't hear what you said. Is it not edifying? I just I look young. But I'm, what am I, 53? 53. Something like that. How many of you know after a while it doesn't matter? I know when you're young, it matters. You've got to find a girl just your age, but it really doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. But anyway, we digress. There's a lot of benefits listed here, and renewing our youth is one of them. Remember whenever Joshua turned 80, was it 85? He said, I'm today like I was when I was 40. He said, give me this mountain. He wasn't looking for a rocking chair or retirement. Oh, I digress again. I don't know what's wrong with me. Something wrong here tonight. Anyway, let's go back to verse 4. One of the benefits, I want to focus in on this because the Lord has been talking to me about it, who redeems your life from destruction. Oh, somebody say, he redeems my life from destruction. Say it out loud. I'm redeemed from destruction. Oh, Sookie, Sookie. Go back to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is another verse. We see something about this. How many of you know, verse number 1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, and my God, in him I trust. Surely he'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He'll cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. There's a whole lot here we're passing over just to get to something. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Now look at verse number 6. Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at 12:39 on August the 10th. That's noonday. I think it was 12:39, wasn't it? Came through 12:30-ish, 12:39. He redeems us. Hallelujah. And he said, we'll not be afraid of the destruction that wasteth. Say wasteth. The word waste means, I looked at it, it's in here somewhere in some notes. Can't find it right here real quick, but something to the effect that a desolation and destruction, again, it's very similar, but it has to do with, you know, tragedy kind of things. Amen. So we're redeemed. Tell your neighbor we're redeemed. And how many of you know one of the things the Lord said to us a while back was some things that are coming. One of the people that are going to make it through is people that spend time in the secret place, that dwell in the secret place. Amen. So I just had in my spirit to talk a little bit about this destruction. The Lord spoke to me about this being something that's going to try to get in. And we're not glorifying that. We're not afraid of that. He said here, we're not afraid of destruction. We're not glorifying it. We're just simply, we're not going to be ignorant about the strategies and devices of the enemy. When you think of destruction, you think of things in the category of accidents, fire, storms, wind, hail, lightning, floods, to destroy property, prosperity, lives, and so forth. And I did a simple word study on destruction, and man, it's amazing how much the Bible talks about it. It's a strategy of the enemy. The God is creative in nature. The enemy creates nothing. He's just a destroyer. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I am come. How many of you know he's not the destroyer? I am come that you might have life and lights. Praise the Lord. I just added that. I am come you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not less, because something's been destroyed. No, more abundantly. Let me tell you about what belongs to you as the redeemed. Hallelujah. Here's some of the blessings. Isaiah 10:27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. When it comes to destruction, the only destruction God does is yokes. Bondages. That's what he destroys. Job 5. Well, let's save some time here because some other things we want to get to. Go. You don't have to turn there, but just write this down. Luke 9:56. Jesus said, "The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And then they went to another village. So he didn't come to destroy men's lives. Jesus is not God. Is not the destroyer. People talk about acts of God, storms and tornadoes and fires and stuff. Acts of God. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. He didn't come to destroy men's lives. Even if they open the door to the enemy, he has no, and Satan destroys them. The Bible said he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's goodness. That's a good God. That even when the wicked bring upon themselves these things and these things happen, he said even in he didn't even have any pleasure in it. So think about another verse, 1 John 3:8. I'm just giving you some things about what God does. He that commits sins, 1 John 3:8, he that commits sins is of the devil. The devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He's not destroying our lives or destroying our blessings or our prosperity or our property or our anything, you know, with hail, storms, wind, fire, all these things, or our lives. He's not destroying it. He's destroying the works of the devil. Those things, all those destructive things, are the works of the devil. We'll see that in a few minutes. But he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And he came to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, that's good news right there. So we're redeemed from destruction. I said, we're redeemed from destruction. The spirit of destruction that the Lord spoke to me about a number of years ago that I've been mentioning recently in some services is utterly powerless against some of the weapons God's given us against it. And I want to look at some of those weapons tonight. There are several things. If you get a hold of these several things, not that I can't go over everything tonight, but if you get a hold of these several things, you and I will be kept from the destroyer. And our property and our lives and our families and homes and things will be kept from the destroyer. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, all these things, this destruction comes from the enemy. And the Bible says in, let me just save some time here, looking down through a couple of things here. In Mark 9:22. The Bible said that there was a demon spirit got a hold of this young boy. Remember the man that came and said, "My son, come, cast the devil out of my son. This thing, my son is lunatic," and this spirit gets a hold of him and tries to cast him in the fire and stuff. Remember that? This is Luke 9:22. Oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the water. Now why? To destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Remember Jesus said, if you can believe. And within a verse or two, he cast that devil out. What was that devil trying to do? Trying to kill him. Destroy his physical, temporal, physical body. Well, that tells you something. He's not your friend. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 5:5, the Bible was referring there to a man who had was wanting to live in open sin. Paul said, deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Notice God wasn't destroying this man's flesh. It was going to be Satan that destroyed his flesh. God won't destroy somebody's flesh. I mean, if he's going to destroy their flesh, where's he going to get it? Where's he going to get that destruction from? It's the enemy that's the destroyer. Amen. Now, I want you to remember in Exodus 12:23, that's the story of the plague, one of the part of the stories of the plagues, the story of the plagues in the book of Exodus there. Whenever, remember, Moses was sent by God to Pharaoh, said, let my people go. Right. Remember, Pharaoh didn't want to do it because it's free slave labor and all of that. And so plagues started coming, and things started happening. And then it got down to the last one, the death of the firstborn. How many of you know that got Pharaoh's attention? And so if you read that very carefully, in fact, you might want to go over there. I want you to maybe if you've never noticed how it's worded, it's a little bit vague until you just look at this verse in Exodus 12:23. In verse number 23, it says, the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel, that's over their houses, and on the two side posts of the door, that is, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer, now notice this, the destroyer to come into your homes or houses to smite you. Now, it looks like from other verses, it looks like God was the ones going through the land destroying. But that verse makes it plain. And we're going to come over into the New Testament. And the New Testament even makes it plainer that it wasn't God that was destroying the firstborn. Notice he said, God will hover over your homes, talking about the people of God that were under the blood. Oh, that ought to shout something big on the inside of you. These people, there was protection. Notice it said, when he sees the blood, when he sees the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and not suffer or permit the destroyer. So the destroyer was somebody other than the Lord. It was another spirit being. Somebody said, what spirit was it? Well, what did it do? It killed, it destroyed lives and physically killed the firstborn. Isn't that right? With death. It was the spirit of death. The Bible talks about the spirit of death. Death, the Bible calls in the New Testament, death is the last enemy, talking about physical death. Physical death. Death is the last enemy that will be put underfoot. So death is not God. Death is an enemy of God. An enemy of God's people. And the Lord's going to deal with it too. And we will live, I mean, even if we die physically before Jesus comes, which that's possible, you know, before, it depends on how long Jesus comes. Some of us may die physically, but when we're raised from the dead, we're going to have an incorruptible body that is not subject to death. And death will be defeated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not going to be like this body. It's going to be a glorified physical body, which we won't take time to get into, and it cannot die. Praise the Lord. So, but this death angel, we would call him the death angel. It's a spirit being, and he destroyed their physical life. Did you see that? So that destroyer is a being, a spirit being, not just a force. That thing that was trying to get that Mark 9, that story where that demon was throwing that man into the fire, that young boy into the fire and so forth, it was trying to destroy. That was not a force. That was a being. There are spirits in the spirit world assigned to destroy people's lives. Now, that's not to make us afraid. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Oh, glory. Now, come over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10:10. Well, actually, go to Hebrews 11, first of all. I just had in my heart to do a little study on this. When the Lord spoke to us about it, how many of you know it would be good just to feed our faith on how to be victorious over this thing? First of all, we're establishing what it is. We're not going to take all our service to do that. We're going to look at how to win victories over it. So, Hebrews chapter 11. I brought the Bible that's got all the pages falling out tonight. Hebrews 11. Look at verse number 28. Talking about the same thing that we just read about in Exodus. Through faith. Oh, here it is. Through faith. Everybody say it's through faith. Moses, talking about Moses, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Now, that's what we were just referring to. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It was by faith. Faith in the blood. Say faith in the blood. Hebrews here talks about faith in the blood. You can just write down Romans 3, verse 25. It talks about he's the propitiation of our sins through faith in his blood. How many of you know faith in his blood remits our sin, but it does more than that? It can protect your physical, temporal life. It can protect your home. It can protect your property. If you'll put faith in the blood, tell your neighbor, faith in the blood, faith in the blood. Hallelujah. Say, faith in the blood. So he kept this Passover, the sprinkling of blood. Now, when you read there in Hebrews, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, you ought to circle sprinkling, put a line up somewhere where you can write something, and put the word applied. The sprinkling of blood, remember he told him in the Old Testament, get a hyssop, that's just a bush called hyssop, and dip it in that animal's blood, because all of them had to kill the lamb without blemish on the night of Passover, and spill its blood in a bowl, and then put that hyssop bush down in there with the leaves and stuff on it, and then use it as a paintbrush, so to speak, and paint it on the sides of the house door and above the mantle there, or lintel, or whatever you call it. That's when the Lord saw that, then he protected that home from that death angel. There was protection under the blood. But it wasn't the blood that was in the sheep's veins. It wasn't even the blood that was spilt and put in that bowl. It was blood that was applied to what you wanted protected. How many of you know the fact that, and that's all, that lamb that was slain is all a type of Jesus, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and his blood, that was this animal's blood was a type of Jesus' blood, and they were looking forward to the blood of the lamb slain on Calvary's tree, and the New Testament says we put faith in the blood of Jesus just like they put faith in the blood of an animal that pointed towards him coming. We look back at the shedding of blood. They look forward at Jesus' shed blood. Jesus shed his blood over 2,000 years ago. For them, it was however many thousand years to come. But it was a type of him. And by putting their faith in what was to the type of what was to come, he counted that for faith in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And by not just the shedding of the animal's blood, but applying it, they had protection. How do you apply the blood today? You apply it with faith in the blood, a confession of faith in the blood. The Bible said Jesus' blood, Hebrews chapter, I'd have to look it up again, but it talks about Jesus' blood speaks of, we've come to the shedding of blood, which his blood speaks, Jesus' blood speaks of better things than that of Abel's. Abel's blood was shed. Abel was innocently killed by Cain. And remember whenever God came and said, where's your brother, talking to Cain, where's your brother Abel? He said, I don't know, am I my brother's keeper? He said, no, his blood's crying out from the ground.
Yes, sir, that's right.
His blood was talking to God.
Yes, sir.
And the New Testament said Jesus' blood speaks of something better than that of Abel's. What did Abel's blood say? It said injustice has been done. Amen. And it called for judgment. Somebody has to pay for this. There's been a murder. It called for justice. Jesus' blood, and see, we were all guilty, and there was a call for a penalty for that, but Jesus' blood speaks something better than Abel's blood. Yeah. Jesus' blood speaks of the price has been paid, and it speaks and it calls out for our mercy.
Yes.
And if you read the Bible carefully, Jesus took his blood from the heavenly from the earth. He took it into the heavenly holy of holies, and it is there before the throne of God today, speaking 24/7. And what's it calling out for? Mercy. It's saying the price has been paid. Mercy can be given because I took the penalty. It was a judgment seat. Now it's a mercy seat. Hallelujah. Now it's a throne of grace, not a throne of judgment.
That's right.
So the blood is there talking to God. According to the Bible, the blood, Jesus' blood is there in heaven talking to God. What's it saying? Redeemed.
Redeemed.
I redeemed them from sin. I redeemed them from destruction. I redeemed them. But you and I have got to say the same thing as the blood. That's what it means to put faith in the blood. You apply the blood with your tongue.
That's right.
In other words, you say, this house is kept by the blood of the Lamb. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. We say, kept by the power of God. This, my house is redeemed. So right there's one key how to overcome the destroyer. Apply the blood to what you want kept. To your house. To your property. I'm telling you, the devil can't cross the bloodline. No, sir. No, sir. When you draw a line and in the on your property and you say, that I plead the blood of Jesus, the devil will come up to the edge of that and he'll have to stop right in his tracks. Hallelujah. Oh, that'll get you going. You just think about it. So there are demon spirits in the spirit realm that are assigned to do certain things, and they can't cross a bloodline. Where you apply the blood and say, this is redeemed. How many of you know the redemption that we have does not just cover our remission of sins? It covers every area of life. Our physical bodies, our property, and everything that belongs to us is protected by faith in the blood. Hallelujah. That'll get me going. You get me going on that. We've preached on the blood. We've got series out here on the blood. You might want to get it. Get stirred up about it again. Hallelujah. Now, we were going to go to 1 Corinthians 10:10. Let's go over there, 1 Corinthians 10:10. Here's another verse that talks about this destroyer. And it's actually applying it to this verse is talking about a different time, not the time in Egypt where the death angel came through. But 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, if you want to know the context of this, notice here's the destroyer again. If you want to know the context of this, this is whenever they complained about not having manna or not having food in the wilderness. And they got all grumpy with Moses and said, let's get a new leader and stuff like that. And there were serpents that came into the camp. Remember that? And if you read it, it looks like the Lord sent them. But if you read carefully, it said the Lord had been protecting them from, because they were out there in that wilderness. And the Bible said, you were wandering through that wilderness where all these serpents are and scorpions and everything. And you weren't hurt at all until you complained, until you murmured. The word murmur means complained. So it wasn't God sending. I mean, God's going to have to make up his mind if he's sending snakes or keeping people free from snakes. He said he had been protecting them. And then they complained and these snakes got in. It wasn't God that sent them. It was them that opened the door and that hedge came down. And the destroyer was able to, you know, those snakes came in and were biting people and they were venomous and they were dying. They were dying by the multitudes, really. So we've got another thing to learn here about the destroyer, and that is watch our mouth. Watch our mouth. Watch our mouth. If you murmur and complain, the word murmur means complain. If you look it up in other translations or even in the Greek, it means to complain. If you murmur and complain, do you do that with your big toe? Do you do it with your eyes? Huh? Oh, you do it with your leg. How do you murmur? With your mouth. I know it's simple, but we got to think about some of this sometimes. It's with our mouth. Everybody say, complaining is done with the mouth. So he's saying, watch your mouth. How many of you know it's easy to complain? Yeah, it's easy to start talking about how this person didn't do you right and that person did you wrong and this person should have done that and they didn't do that. You know? And complain against leadership, complain against the government, complain against... You know, how long is it going to take them to get the street poles up and everything? Actually, I'm amazed. They said 2,500 poles, and I don't know how many. There's less and less people now got still out of power. Let me rephrase that, electricity. Power is available to everybody, but... There's a lot in this. I'm not going to focus on this tonight, but how many of you can see two things here? One way to keep the destroyer from working is to watch our mouth. Now, here's another thing from this passage. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. This is not just a force, this is a being. Destroyer is a being. There are forces... Yes, but there are beings behind the forces that create derechos, or however you say it, or something right. Yeah, something sounds right. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Proverbs 13:3. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Whoa. So he's telling us, don't speak fear, don't speak destruction. Speak 1 Peter 1:5. We're kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. Say it out loud, I'm kept by the power of God. Now notice what it says there, I'm kept by the power of God through faith. That's what 1 Peter 1:5 says, through faith. And you could add confession of faith. How'd you get saved? By grace are you saved through faith. That night of yourselves is a gift of God. And then it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart. So it's a believing and a confessing. So believe and speak, keeping, protection.
Yes. Amen.
He gives his angels charge over me, and they keep me in all my ways. And speak, these verses were given to you about, like Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. I speak, I'm kept, and I'm protected by the blood. I apply the blood. It speaks of mercy. It speaks of my redemption. And I say, this area of my life is redeemed. My home is redeemed from destruction. My car is redeemed from destruction. My property, my trees, my everything, redeemed. Hallelujah. Redeemed. Redeemed. That means to buy back again. Buy back again. So there's so much. We're covering so much material so fast. But... A good testimony Christina Miller sent me, she said, now if I heard you right, I read that, make sure I'm understanding you right, your garage in your house is disconnected. In other words, there's no roof over the connection. What is it, 5 feet? 5 yards between those two. And you were trying to get some things put together before the storm came and the winds kicked up before you got from the garage into the house. Is that, am I saying this right? Oh, okay. For everybody to hear it, the storm had already started. She had to speak to it to get to the house. And you heard the wind stop or felt them, I don't know, whatever. It slowed down. And you went from the garage to the house. And 1 foot behind you, after you got partway through that opening, a big tree fell. Is that right? Did I say that right? Huh? 2.5-story tree. And it went right between the house and the garage. And at 1 foot behind her. And she put in her email. She said, I have said, how many years, I guess, or however long, I'm kept by the power of God. She said, I say that all the time, kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. After things like that, I like to say this, you missed, devil, you missed. Somebody said, you don't want to get cocky. No, you don't want to get cocky, but we are confident. We are confident. He is powerless because this destroyer has been whooped. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm kept by the power of God. We're redeemed from destruction. How many of you know that's a redemption right there? That's a manifestation, full blown out in full color for everybody to see, kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm liking this tonight. Are you liking this tonight? Let's go back. Let's back up before we get to a couple of these other ones and go to Malachi 3, 10 and 11. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Look at this. And he shall not destroy. Shall not destroy what? The fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. He shall not destroy. In other words, one key, we're talking about keys, to be victorious over the destroyer, one key is to be a tither. Because to not be a tither opens the door for the destroyer to destroy prosperity. Amen. I mean, somebody's not tithing, they might look like they're getting ahead, but this devourer has access to what they have. And how many of you know 10%, or let's put it this way, 90% without the devourer goes further than 100% with the devourer. It's simple math. I know your calculator can't calculate it, but your spirit man can calculate that math. And sometimes you just don't know how it's working, but it's just working. I'm doing better with less. I mean, how's that working? Well, this devourer doesn't have access to your stuff. Things last longer. I put on this outfit tonight, and I looked at my tie, and I think I've had that for about 15 years. I really do. I'm not exaggerating. I looked at my shoes. I think I've had them for about 12 years. You know? My stuff lasts a long time. I mean, I keep it long enough, it'll come back in style. You know what I'm talking about? Being around some people, I think they're trying to bring on a new style, which hasn't hit yet, but anyway. All right, I'm just having fun. I'm kidding. So praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, tithing is a key to being free from the devourer, from the destroyer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying this. Are you enjoying this? Praise God. All right. Now, Hosea 4:6. We're going through a lot of this pretty quickly. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Ooh, 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 ooh. So One reason that the enemy, let's categorize it, the destroyer, the one who goes about destroying. Now, it could be life. It could be, you know, injuries. It could be damage to property, you know, storms, all this stuff, fires and stuff, accidents, damaging cars and stuff. One way he gets access to people is that they just don't know the word to stop him. Now, what do I mean by that? How many of you know the word will reveal who's guilty of all this? The word will reveal the true troublemaker. The devil has the world deceived to think it's God causing all the trouble. But the knowledge of the word will open our eyes to who's really causing all the problems. And when we get knowledge of the word, we get what we need. I'm talking about faith to stop the destruction of the enemy in our lives. Amen. And so he's talking about, you know, because the Bible said in 1 Peter 5, what is that, 7 or 8, Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. I know a lot of this is stuff we know, but the Lord just put it on my heart to bring it all into one little package so we can meditate on this. Because if this thing's stalking around, let's close the doors to him. Let's be victorious over him. And here's how. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And it says, whom resist steadfast in your faith. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. In other words, when we hear the word, we get the knowledge of God, and we get the faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. We get the faith to put him on the run. Yeah. Bible said, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Will the destroyer flee from you if you exercise authority in faith? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Can you say amen? And so we resist him and his destruction by our faith. We can say, no, not here. This is covered by the blood. Put our faith in the blood. Put our faith in the word of God. Put our faith in the promises of God. And put our faith in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has authority to stop the destroyer. Amen. Now, go to this one, Psalm 17, verse number 4. We're taking very little time on any of these. We could take a whole series of meetings on all of them, and have many of them in the past. I just didn't have it in my heart to do that tonight. I had it in my heart to do just cover a lot of different areas. Psalm 17, verse number 4, it talks about an interesting verse that I didn't really catch this verse till maybe 10 or so years ago. And just keeps growing on the inside of me. Psalm 17, verse 4, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, talking about God's word, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Ooh. By the word of God, the word of thy lips, God spoke his word, I have kept me. In other words, I have kept myself. Yeah. Somebody said, God, keep me. How many of you know he's telling us here, do what I said in my word and you'll keep yourself. Yeah. Well, I don't know why God didn't keep me from that destruction. Doesn't he care? His care for you was giving you and I his word. That is his care. For us to take his word, be a doer of it, and get the benefits. Take his word, practice it in faith. When he says, bring all the tithe. Well, I can't afford to. Well, that's unbelief. Directly against what God said. Directly against what God said. How many of you know faith is how we practice the word? We'd be doers of the word by faith. It takes faith. It doesn't look like it's going to work, but you got to do it by faith. And that's just one thing. The whole counsel of God's word. How many of you know walking in love? I've had times before where I got out of love with somebody and stuff started happening quick. I'm like, whoa, I'm no dummy. Close that door. Forgive me. I'm telling you, I remember whenever I got huffy a couple months ago about a certain thing and situation and certain person, and it started happening before the sun went down. Stuff. I mean, it's like, I'm not talking about a little bit of, you know, stump my toe. I'm talking about hit the gas line at the house, gas is pouring out, you know. Stuff starts to, and I'm like, I know exactly what happened. I got on the phone with the people I said it to. I said, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. See, that's called being a doer of the word, closing the door to the destroyer. Amen. And within hours of me getting all huffy like that, we had a freezer over here in the family center at nighttime. Was it at nighttime, I believe? The motor of the thing burnt out and burnt a scab or whatever you call it on the wall right there. It got so hot, and they said it was still hot whenever they got there. The fire department got there. Woo! We had just, was it that day, gotten the fire panel fixed. We had trouble with that fire panel for weeks. Weeks. I mean, the thing would stop working. We'd get it fixed. They'd stop working. I believe the devil, the destroyer, was trying to get in. And we had just that day it was, gotten that fire panel finally with a brand new thing, whatever, they got it permanently fixed, and that night the thing went off. The fire alarm went off. They got down here in time to get it stopped because they said it was blowing red hot and already heated up that wall enough to start a fire. Would have burned down the whole family center. Well, see, I had to get that door closed, getting all huffy like that. The destroyer, he's just there trying to get in. I mean, he's not playing games. We are such kept people, man. We are kept people. Hallelujah. And listen, by the grace of God and by the mercy of God and by doing as much as we know to do in the Word and walking in the light, walking by faith, we're going to continue to be kept people. Tell your neighbor, we're going to continue. That's what we are. We're going to continue. Hallelujah. And so we could take a lot more time on that. Are you getting anything? Job said in Job 31, 23, for destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. In other words, he was afraid. He couldn't attain unto what God expected of him, and so he was afraid he was going to be destroyed. He thought God was the destroyer. But, excuse me, you read Job chapter 1 and 2, you find out God wasn't the one coming and destroying. It was Satan coming and destroying. And you remember his crops were destroyed, his family was destroyed, his animals and stuff. And so, but it tells us how this got in. Because you remember, God had said to Satan, I noticed you can't get him. He said, and Satan said, no, you've got a hedge about him. We've got a hedge about us. We got a hedge of faith. We got a hedge of the blood. We got, in the spirit realm, if you could see us, if you could see Spirit of Faith Family Church and you could see your life, you'd look at your life and there is a well-worn path around it. Looking, trying to get in. Hallelujah. We're kept people. But Job said, I was afraid of this destruction. And remember, he said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Remember that? Although you and I, so here's another key to keeping the door closed to destruction. We're redeemed from destruction, aren't we? But although we're redeemed from destruction, it's received by faith. And so fear and faith cannot operate in the same heart. Amen. And a troubled heart is not a believing heart. A fearful heart is not a believing heart. So fear opens the door to the enemy so he can put on us what we've really been redeemed from. So it's not just, see, there's a Godward side and a manward side to everything. Our side is to keep these doors closed. Fear is one of those doors. Can you see that one? Hallelujah. Well, let's look at this last one. Romans 8, 14 through 17, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And then verse 16 says, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, verse 17, if children, then heirs. It's always stuck out to me that he's talking about being led and following the inner witness. And then he said, we are heirs. In other words, one of the keys to walking, an heir is someone that's inherited, their parents' possessions or somebody's possessions, you know. So he's saying we have inherited some things from our father. One of the things we've inherited is redemption from destruction. We read that, right? That's just one thing. We've inherited forgiveness of sin, remission of sin. We've inherited a whole lot more than just redemption from destruction. But we're focusing on this tonight. We're redeemed. Who's redeemed our lives from destruction? And it's through faith in the blood. We see that in the New Testament, Hebrews, so forth. Now, with that in mind, one of the things we've got to learn to do in order to walk into this inheritance of redemption from destruction is learn to follow the leadings of the Spirit. Learn to follow the leadings of the Spirit. When you have something just is not right, something is not right, everything's going fine in your life, but on the inside, what is wrong? Something is wrong. You ever had that? Find out what that is. Take the time, get quiet, say, Lord, what is that? Pray in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask the Lord what it is. Because there's something that the Spirit of God is trying to alert your spirit about. And it could be dangerous. You know what I mean? Not from God. I mean from the enemy, something Satan's going to try to do. And the Spirit of God will alert you and I to those things and guide us away from it. Amen. And out of harm's way. Monday or something, I remember what day it was, I saw a video on YouTube that I just had a prompting to click on. It was a pastor that was interviewed on, is it CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, I guess, from Beirut, Lebanon. I don't know if you've paid attention. On the 4th of August, there was a huge explosion in the capital city there in Beirut, Lebanon, that leveled blocks of buildings, windows blown out for miles. It was huge. 300,000 people displaced. Just crazy destruction. You look at some of the pictures on the internet, it is crazy. But they interviewed this pastor on CBN, and he had a church, or has a church, there within 2 minutes drive. How far can you get 2 minutes drive? Now, this is a city and city block. This is right downtown. So with all the street lights and so forth, 2 minute drive, what, two blocks or three blocks? I don't know, just a couple blocks away. They didn't say how far, but it was a 2 minute drive, they said, from where this stuff was that blew up, the explosion. And it happened on August the 4th. That was a Tuesday. I believe it happened in the afternoon or evening or something like that. It wasn't August the 4th. I believe I got that date right. And they said, this pastor, they interviewed him. He said, because they wanted to hear his testimony, that he somehow got out the word what had happened. They had a church that they had 34 staff in the building that day. They were preparing food for some refugee children, I guess from Syria, that were living there in Beirut and who needed some assistance. They were preparing food. I think they had 270, don't quote me exactly, 242 or 272 children, something like that, in the building. They were getting ready to feed them. The cooks and people, 34 people, preparing the food. The pastor had been praying in the morning and had he described it several different ways, just a grieving, just a heaviness, just a sadness, he described it several different ways. I was going to have them show it tonight, but because we don't have live stream back yet or internet back yet, we couldn't get it downloaded. But he said, you ought to go home and look at it. I'll give you the title of it. See where my phone went. But it's called Lebanese Pastor. Let me find it here. Lebanese pastor sends everyone home before the explosion. You just go on YouTube and you can find it. He said he could not get over the grieving. He said it was almost like he was getting sad and depressed. He said, I was fine. Nothing wrong with me. There was no problems in the church, the ministry, home, family, nothing. He said, it was just this heaviness. I couldn't get over it. I couldn't pray through it. I couldn't get over it. I think he's a Church of God, I believe, man. And he said, I went into, and he said, I just couldn't get through it in prayer. So he said, I went into the staff and I said, everybody go home. And I don't know. Somebody said, well, what do you mean go? He said, just go home. He said, we got children here. We got the food is just getting ready. He said, go home. Put it in the freezer. Put it in the refrigerator. Go home. He said, I couldn't understand myself. He said, I was getting rude with people. Tell them, go home. He said, there's something urgent. I don't know what it is. Go home. And he said, people were saying, well, we got jobs. We've got to finish this. This you're asking us to do on the computer. He said, I said, go home. And finally, he almost got rude. He didn't even understand why he was getting rude. And he finally just said, well, I'll go home. He said, they all went home. And they, by the time they cleared out the building and got out of the area, the explosion took off. And he said, one wall, the interview said, one wall came across and it would have killed everybody. Just, what was that? That was an inner witness that he couldn't even put his finger on what it was. But something's wrong. You ever had that? I stand before God, I lie not. Every one of these things, that freezer burning up, the 12,000 volt cable that we hit, the morning of the derecho, whatever you call that thing, and some of these things, I was going through them today. Every single, and I was aware of it in an unusual way. There was a heaviness on me. Every single one of those. That's the inner witness. That's a cue, pray. No wonder he spoke to me so strong and said, remember I told you, he quoted that verse to me one morning. I woke up, he said, the end of all things is at hand. Watch and pray. Yeah. He's trying to tell me, don't be passing over these grievings, these heaviness, since this sense of heaviness you get on the inside. How many of you know sometimes the devil will tell you you're getting depressed? Are you still out there? He'll try to tell you something's wrong with you. You know what I'm talking about? But it is sometimes the spirit of prayer. It's the inner witness letting you know something's wrong. How many of you know Romans 8, 20, 26 and 27 says, likewise, the spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That man, that pastor in Lebanon, bless his heart, sweet man, you can just tell he's full of the love of God. He said he didn't know what it was that he was picking up, but he just... And he didn't even know why he was telling everybody to go home. He said, why am I getting angry? You know, yeah. He didn't know. It was just an inward knowing. But he didn't know, but the Holy Ghost did.
Yes. Amen.
There are things the Holy Ghost knows is getting ready to happen.
Yes.
And because he's merciful and compassionate and loving and doesn't want it to happen and wants to spare people's lives, even wicked people's lives. God has no pleasure in the wicked dying and going to hell. Because he is good, he will put what he knows and that grieving on his heart that these people are about to go off, not the Christians, but off into a devil's hell. He doesn't enjoy destruction. Because of what he's picking up and because he doesn't want it to happen, he'll pass it on. He'll pass that sense of urgency, that sense of grieving, that sense of heaviness on to somebody for them to pray. In this case, he couldn't get it changed, but he could get out of there. Hallelujah. That pastor, I'm talking about that pastor in Beirut. I'm telling you what, these are things we're going to have to get better at. We're going to have to get better, not overriding the inner witness. Am I preaching all right? Yeah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He'll lead you away from destruction. I said he'll lead you away from destruction. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says the gifts of the Spirit are for the profit of all. You'll greatly benefit from following these things the Spirit of God leads you out of. Amen. Learn to identify these things. That's what I really want to emphasize to you tonight. Let's learn to not just pass it over and say, well, I don't know why I'm so heavy today. Go to prayer. Are you out there? Learn to identify these things. And to do so and learning to follow those things are part of your spiritual development in your faith to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have to learn to recognize these things better. God wants to spare people's lives, ours included, but others as well. He wants to spare people's lives. But another reason we're going to have to learn to identify these things and be responsive, say responsive, is because, number one, God loves people and He wants to spare their life. But number two, He wants to demonstrate how these things work. So more and more people, how many of you know whenever you have a demonstration of something, you get hungry? I want more. I see how that worked. I see how that happened. I want more of that. When you realize what God knows and what He wants to do and how if we respond correctly, we can avoid so many more things. We get more hungry, more interested in learning these things. Can you say amen? How many of you know 1 John 2:27 says the anointing abides in us. He'll teach us all things. And one of the things He'll teach us to do is to avoid this destruction. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of the Word tonight? Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So can you list these tools? I mean, maybe not right now, but you can see these different tools, these weapons of our warfare to be victorious over the spirit of destruction. Hallelujah. Not walking in fear, walking in faith, learning to apply the blood, tithing. Amen. All these things, we've listed a number of them. Learning to follow the inner witness. I'll close with this. One of the definitions that I am learning so much about, the definition of the word glory. God's talking to me a lot about the glory. And I can't get into it all right now. I got to close. But I'll just stand up with me. That'll help. That'll help me. But the word glory is so broad. The glory of God is manifest presence and so forth and so on. But the word glory, one of the definitions, and you can see it in the word very clearly, is the ideal condition in which God created anything or what it was meant to be by God. Amen. Adam and Eve were clothed with the glory of God. That meant they were in the ideal condition. That means exactly as God planned it to be. How many of you know the further we are from what God planned for our lives, the less of the glory we're walking in? The more we walk in the fullness of all that is ours, the leading of the Spirit, avoiding destruction that way, pleading the blood, walking in the authority of the believer. The more we walk in these things, the more our life looks like what He planned. Amen. Hallelujah. The way He planned it and He created us to be. Not with destruction and all the stuff. I'll tell you what. I said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 And so there's a whole lot of things you can get out of that. How many of you know we don't get discouraged if we're only walking in a degree of the glory of God? Because by looking into His face, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we're changed into His image from glory to glory. Same word translated changed is translated renew when it talks about Hebrews, Romans 12:2, renew the mind. The more our minds are renewed, the more the glory we're going to walk in. The more our lives will look just like God planned it. The more we'll see 1,000 at our side and 10,000 at our right, but it doesn't come near us. Hallelujah.
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 We see in John 15, verse, you know, all those verses, He talks about no fruit. Remember the fruit? I'm the vine, you're the branches. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. Five levels of fruit. And then He said right in the middle of that, John 15:7, you abide in me, my words abide in you. You ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. And then He said this, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Glorified. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Much fruit is where He gets more glory. The glory of God is revealed through the church. The church is the theater of God's glory. And God wants to show off to the world and say, I want you to see how good I am. See their lives. It looks like I planned it. It doesn't look like destruction. It doesn't look like failure, loss, and death, and, you know, all these things.
Yeah, come
Hallelujah. And the church, the world is to look at the church and see the glory of God. Things like God ordained for them to be. Hallelujah. And in all that, John 15, he talks about different levels of fruit bearing. And then he said, if a man bears fruit, the Lord purges him that he might bring forth more fruit. So he tells us how to go from one degree of fruit bearing to another. In other words, one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Herein is my Father glorified. How do we do it? It's through the purging. That's right, Pastor. It's through all the tests and trials. No, read the next verse. He said, now are you clean. Same Greek word translated clean is translated purge. Now are you clean. Now are you purged. Through the Word. Through the Word. Well, I didn't get God's best. Well, I'll be honest with you. The church didn't either in this go-round. But we're further along than we used to be. And we're keeping washed with the water of the Word. We keep looking into the Word, seeing the glory of God, seeing what's available, seeing not just the good, the acceptable, but seeing the perfect will of God. And we're going towards that from glory to glory. Amen.